B-Pod Studios.
This. Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Second and goal to go from the two. Allen motions left to right, then reverses direction. Brady under center. A give to Burkhead. Runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
What a call, Sosi. We're going back, baby. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. Pack your bags. Start our buses. We're coming home, Boston. Oh, my God. Can't believe it. It's not their year, right? It just might be.
Fourth and final hour with Felger and Mass. Here we go to the Super Bowl. Last hour here in Boston before we head off to Atlanta. And we'll close it out with Christopher L. Gasper. That's for Lee. He is brought to you by Mass General Hospital, our friends at MGH. Thanks to them. Also want to thank our Agenda Free Friday sponsor. Again, Agenda Free Friday is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. BernardiAutoGroup.com. Christopher, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are just...
How are you guys holding up, huh?
Whew, it's been tough.
Why? What are you talking about?
Tough week for me.
Tough for you, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, because I picked the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm better than ever. What are you kidding? That doesn't slow me down.
Okay.
And I was just happy I was wrong. I didn't have to put a ball gag in my
mouth. Well, I never believed your pick, Mark. I thought that was typical, you know, this is like reverse mojo. I'm going to against them so that they win. Your pick wasn't legitimate.
No, I had a lot of chips on the table there. So, yeah, it's been a tough week. I've been lashing out. I've been trying to take it out on the Patriots fans. So I've gotten some satisfaction back a little bit.
Yeah.
But either way, what interests you most about this Super Bowl matchup?
Line of scrimmage. Because I go back to last year's Super Bowl, and to me, if you were to hand out the MVP honors for real and not just, you know, based on, like, you know, who looks pretty and who plays a skill position, you would have given it to the Eagles' offensive line. They dominated that game. The Patriots couldn't stop the run, and they never sniffed Nick Foles. And so when you look at the Rams have a very, very good offensive line. And so can the Patriots do a better job this time around against really a dominant upper echelon offensive line than they did last year? Because I thought that was sort of the untold story of that game. You know, yeah, it was bad in the back end. And yeah, I know you guys have been relitigating the Malcolm Butler thing and we can do all that. But the bottom line was they got owned up front. Jay Ajayi, LeGarrette Blount ran the football. Foles had all day to throw the football down the field to Alshon Jeffrey and to throw, you know, 35-yard wheel routes to Corey Clement, whether he caught the ball or not. He had the time to throw it. And this is a good offensive line for the Rams, starting with Whitworth as the left tackle, Saffold at left guard, and John Sullivan at the center. Particularly those three guys are really good.
Do you put that ahead of the other side? In other words, the Patriots offensive line versus the Rams defensive line?
Actually, I do, because the Patriots have done a good job keeping Brady clean against really good pass rush. I know it's different with Donald and Sue because those guys are going to line up, you know, up the middle. That's obviously important.
But what if the Patriots can't run it?
What if the Patriots? Well, that's going to hurt them. I mean, I think that is going to hurt them if they can't run the ball. But if they have to just chuck it around, I mean, look, I'll be honest. Marcus Peters, not a great year for the Rams. Not a great year. I mean, Aqib Talib has been a lot better, I think, since he came back healthy. But I think I looked this up today, like Pro Football Focus, you know, Marcus Peters was like the 49th cornerback, you know, in terms of rating, like in the league this year. He did not have the year that I think the Rams thought that he would have. And also, it makes me a little nervous from the Rams side when I don't know how much of Bill you guys have heard or read.
Oh, no, but he's talked about it's the same defense for 30 years.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that he's done 30 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
And maybe focus on different things for different games, but really it's all the same calls.
Yeah.
It's all the same defense.
Exactly.
Yeah. I heard that too.
We know when he says that, normally that means they feel like they have a pretty good plan. And the one thing I'll say, if they can't run the ball, I think they'll be able to throw it to the running backs. I don't buy the Rams' ability to cover running backs out of the backfield. I know Corey Littleton had 13 passes defended this year. That was the most of any linebacker in the league. He covers well for a linebacker. But, you know, that's for a linebacker. And Alvin Kamara got over on him in that Saints game. And so I feel like James White can do that as well. So I think what you might see then is they're going to go to running backs out of the backfield. And I know that you had asked me about some stats that you have about tight ends. They have not done a great job against tight ends either. This could be that. I mean, it sort of has to be, right? I keep saying Gronkowski has one big game left in him. Well,
was it last week?
I think it might be this one. I think it might be the Super Bowl. Unless the Rams decide they're going to put Tlaib on him, but I think the Rams will put Tlaib on Edelman.
Well, you just looked something up, Maz, didn't you?
Yeah, the Rams allowed the second most yards to tight ends in the league. So now again, that's yardage. If you go by receptions, it's still a tenth most inside of 10 worst in terms of allowing receptions. Like, it feels to me there's a vulnerability there, and so, which makes sense though if you think about it, because when they're healthy, their corners are awesome. Now, Peters, I'm with him. Peters is a loose cannon. But I have all the respect in the world for Tlaib's compete. And again, big game. I know he could blow a gasket, but he'll compete his ass off. So, to me, the place to beat him is in the middle of the field. That feels, again, I'm just going on paper now. I haven't spent all my Sundays watching the Rams.
Give me your thoughts on McVay. Real deal?
Yeah, I think he's a real deal. I mean, I think he's really good at probing weaknesses in a defense and creating matchups for his guys. I mean, he does what you want any coach to do, right? Put the players in the best position to succeed. I think he does that exceptionally well. And even though maybe it's not the most complicated scheme in the world, I think that works to his advantage because it's not complicated for his players, but it's still hard to stop because he gets guys in one-on-one matchups that they can win. So I think he's legit, and I think he will dial some stuff up that gives the Patriots trouble. I'll tell you this right now. One of the things, you know, just going back and looking at it and just looking at a little bit of NFL Game Pass and stuff, I think people have sort of forgotten about Todd Gurley catching the football. And I know he didn't have much of a game, obviously, against the Saints, but he's a guy that can catch the football out of the backfield, and he'll also be a guy that they will flex out and go empty, and they'll put him in the slot, and he runs, like, real routes. Like, against your Packers, he ran like a real route. He ran like a shallow cross and took it to the house. And he had another route. They put him in a stack and he went right down the sideline. He juggled it. Initially, they ruled it a catch. Then, they, you know, Riveron did his thing and overturned it, his 55-45 thing instead of what the actual rule is, which is it's supposed to be incontrovertible. And he overturned it. But I looked at those plays. That's terrifying for the Patriots to see that guy flexed out in the slot and running a route against Van Noy or Hightower. Because here's the thing about the Patriots linebackers. Your linebackers... Bill always said this, and I know he said it when you were covering the team. Some guys are better going forwards. Some guys are better going backwards.
I was just talking about this with Van Noy.
Patriots linebackers are definitely better going forwards.
Roberts for sure. Van Noy, you got to make Van Noy cover. Because if he's attacking the backfield, he's turned into a playmaker.
He's good, man. He has a nose for it.
Got to make him cover.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, he's so perfect at timing it up to make these offensive linemen think that he's not coming, and then he comes, and he gets there fast. He's really good. And he's not a bad cover guy, but if it's a Kareem Hunt, Todd Gurley, Alvin Kamara, that's not a good matchup for him.
Gurley should scare the crap out of you coming out of the backfield as a receiver. He should.
Okay, here's a thought I want your reaction to. Murray, would you restate your opening take, if you could, from 2 o'clock as best as you can duplicate it?
Oh, sure, yeah. No, I think that, because I'm with you on Sean McVay, and I think he's the more important piece in that offense. It's them, the offensive line, Todd Gurley, if he's healthy, and I think Jared Goff mostly stinks. I think that he's essentially the delivery boy of that offense, and if he doesn't have Daddy McVay in his ears up until the last second in his helmet, and he has to improvise, they're doomed. I think Goff stinks. And I was scared to say this because I said the same thing about Nick Foles last year.
I was just going to say, yeah, how'd that work out for
you?
No,
I know, not good, but I'm not doing it with Jared Goff because he sucks even more than Nick Foles.
So he didn't show you anything in that NFC Championship game?
Made a couple of big throws, but really everything started going good for that team once Hecker ended up making the fourth down throw on the fake punt, and then they started getting rolling. He made a handful of decent throws, but I'm sorry. That starts with McVay, not with Goff. I think he's a moron.
I think that
strong take, right?
That's a good take.
Good job.
I mean, I look.
He doesn't know where the sun sets or rises. Like, I'm sorry. I can't with this guy. He stinks.
Oh, so I want to know more about that during the break.
Yeah, we missed that. Yeah, Hard Knocks, that whole deal, which is, it's interesting that he went to Cal. You know, I guess it wasn't an academic scholarship.
I'm not sure what you guys are talking about.
It was apparently on Hard Knocks.
He was unaware that, I'm guessing, Murray, that he didn't know that the sun rose in the east?
Yes.
is there video or audio of that?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. But okay, go ahead,
can I just say though? I mean, like, the different sport, right? Cross sport comparison. But do you think Jonathan Papelbon knows where the sun rises?
No, he's a moron too.
But how clutch was he, and how good was
extremely,
he?
Extremely. Yeah, no, that he had
sometimes
balls.
He doesn't play quarterback. But
sometimes all you have to do is chuck it.
My bigger point
is, don't overthink it.
He's a systems quarterback. I think you could put Matt Cassel or any other stiff in this.
So
Sean McVay.
You think he's Kirk Cousins? Basically.
Yes, exactly. Well, so that's a great example, because when McVay was the offensive coordinator of the Washington Redskins, didn't they made the playoffs.
Like,
he made Kirk Cousins end up getting that payday he got for the Minnesota Vikings. That's because of Sean McVay. It starts and ends with McVay and that offensive line, which I'm with you, I think is dominant.
That offensive line's really good. Look, Goff, to me, he showed me something that NFC Championship game because I thought the moment was too big for him. I thought he had pretty much urinated down his leg in the first half.
And the first quarter was a mess with the crowd noise.
I was like, this guy.
I mean, running out to the sideline, getting to that far wide receiver, like, Daddy, what should I do? Autumn, hello, I only got 15 seconds. Got to get back to the line. Incomplete.
Yeah, but Jim,
I know he made some throws.
But forget the throws. But take that out. What you're describing is every college quarterback that comes out and every college quarterback that's come out for the last 5 years. That's what they teach in college. All those guys looking over the sideline for the cue card that has, you know, Mickey Mouse, a banana, and a Buick. Sure, because that's what the play call is.
And a Smurf.
Like, yeah, that's what, face. You know, a picture of, like, Felger with a ball gag. That's the play. Like, that's every quarterback that's come out. So it's kind of hard for me to knock the guy for that. If anything, McVay's smart for, you know, that's how you get the most out of these guys. I mean, what do you think Baker Mayfield was doing?
Yeah, but Baker Mayfield's got stones, though. This kid, again, I just think when he has to improvise, it all goes to hell.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 Sports Hub.
103 decibels, and they're just getting started as Zuerlein sets up for a 57-yard try to win the NFC Championship game. The hold is down, the kick clears the line, and Greg Zuerlein sends the Rams to the Super Bowl. LA will play for the Lombardi. Greg Zuerlein from 48 in regulation and 57 in overtime. 26-23. It's over. And the Superdome is silent.
Again, that's how the Rams got here.
That guy's a dork.
Jared Goff, what was he in the second half of that game in New Orleans, Mass, do you remember?
He completed 65% of passes for 183 yards. And
No touchdowns, no interceptions.
No touchdowns, no picks, and had a rating of like 94.5.
65% completion percentage, 185 yards, no turnovers in the second half in New Orleans for the NFC Championship, and you're not impressed, Murray?
No, not really. No. I mean, that's that same Saints defense that, while they looked good at points last year, ended up giving a soul-crushing play to Stephon Diggs in the last play. And who's the bum quarterback that was there last year?
Case Keenum.
Case Keenum, please. That's on their defense.
He was 13 of 20 for 183 with a rating of 94.4. And you know what? I see, me being the dink that I am, that would put him in the middle of the pack in both during the regular season, meaning an average quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much where Tom Brady ended up.
Is Jared Goff good enough to beat you, Murray?
No.
Is Jared Goff good enough to beat you?
Yes, okay. He is. In that system, in that offense, with that coach. The other thing with Goff, I think that...
if he puts up those numbers, like, you know, average NFL quarterback in 2018...
if he doesn't turn the ball over, start with that.
Yeah, if he completes 65% of his passes and has a rating in the mid-90s, they can win the game.
Yes, definitely.
The one small problem, he's been pretty fortunate this year. I mean, he's fumbled the ball 12 times. He hasn't lost those. But, I mean, that the 12 fumbles was tied for the most among NFL quarterbacks.
He didn't lose a single one?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But he has fumbled the ball 12 times.
I see.
You know, he hasn't lost them all. I can look up how many he lost, but I did see that stat that he was tied for the league lead in most fumbles. Not fumbles lost, but just overall fumbles. So he can get a little loose with the football.
Yeah. I'm digging in from today through all next week on Radio Row. I am bashing this off-brand Ryan Gosling. Jared Goff stinks.
Okay. Will be a very popular man.
Yep, I'm pandering.
For our listeners. It's okay. We need it. I think we could use some pandering here. All right, to the phones. Steve and Stoneham. Oh, you want to hear a Brady hater. This is, again, Chief Brady hater here. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to do the quarterback comparison, but three quick plays that were overlooked. Hill not calling for a fair catch on that punt. Ran back 12 yards, holding penalty, inside the 5-yard line, starting the drive. Gave the Patriots 3 yards, okay? Patterson's run out of the end zone when they're down by four. He got the ball to the 40. Never heard that discussed. Big play. Absolutely big play. Most returns on don't get to the 20, okay? And then Andy Reid's trying to get a playoff and run in the end zone before the two-minute warning made no sense. They're in a position to tie it by three or win the game. He didn't know that they would need time in the end.
No, so I was thinking the same thing. You're wrong on that. I was thinking the same thing at the time. I looked at the play clock. They had to run that play. Otherwise, they were going to get a delay a game. Because I was thinking the same thing, and then in the stadium, and I looked up at the play clock, and I realized that they had to run the play.
Okay, so but there's a second guess there that he should have bled the clock that whole drive. They got the ball 3.5 minutes left.
Sure.
And Bedard brought this up. I think he's right in hindsight. It didn't occur to me at the time, but the Chiefs got the ball down three with 3:30 left. That should have been the last drive of regulation. They should have been lining up to kick the game-tying field goal as the clock expired, or scoring with, you know, whatever. It's hard to really, you know, nail down the touchdown like a field goal, but, you know, call it inside of 30 seconds a minute, and that should have been how it was managed, and it definitely was. They threw on first down all the way down the field. So, like, that's a fair second guess.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots probably would have milked it, and that's what they did in the regular season meeting. But, you know, at that point, I think the Chiefs had sort of struggled to score throughout the game, and they had stuff that was working. And, you know, you got to make some stops. I mean, that's the thing if you're the Chiefs, right? I mean, you can talk about game management and all that other stuff, but you have to be able to get off the field, particularly on third down, and they couldn't do it.
Okay, Steve, quickly, what's your real take?
Okay, on the quarterback comparison, Mahomes had guys in his face all day. He had no running game. He had Kelce dropping passes. Brady had a running game. He had easy passes in front of zone defenses. Switch the quarterbacks. Put Brady on Kansas City and Mahomes on the Patriots. It's 57-0.
Yeah, I don't know if it's 57-0, but and Steve, I'll even help Steve out. Brady's receivers came up big. Big for
they really
him.
Did though. Yeah,
it was Hogan with one-handed catches, or James White with a couple real toughies with linebackers in his face, or that Gronkowski catch down the sidelines. You know, on the last drive, Brady put it right on a dime on those third and tens. Like, that was Brady. But throughout the course of the game, Brady's receivers bailed him out, really helped him. So yeah, higher degree of difficulty for Mahomes. If you switch quarterbacks, is it the same result, Chris?
If you switch I mean, it's different systems. I think it's sort of hard to say. I mean, look, I thought Brady played, you know, pretty well. All things considered. I mean, the interceptions, if you want to look at the one in the end zone, was Champ Bailey-esque. I mean, that was terrible. And I was ranting and raving in the press box. I mean, you rarely see that. That was one of the worst throws I've ever seen him. I mean, rarely does Brady predetermine before the play where he's going with the ball and that he's just going to throw it. Now, when you look at that formation and what they were doing there, they basically had three tight ends because Adrian Waddle was a tackle eligible. So there really was only one place to go with that ball on the play, and that was Gronk. But rarely does he just say, no matter what, I'm throwing this. And that's literally what he did. Like, he just looked. He didn't even look. He's just like, I'm throwing this no matter what. That was terrible. The other one, to me, was on Edelman. And the other one would have been on Gronkowski. I mean, those interceptions would not have been on him. The D Ford one would not have been on him.
I mean, what the caller's asking is, did Mahomes outplay Brady in the game?
I didn't think he did, to be honest. No, I didn't. I mean, Mahomes, here's
he played a cleaner game.
You think he did?
Well, that sack at the end of the second quarter was
that cost them a field goal.
Killer.
Did he turn it over?
Nope.
He did not. Well, he fumbled, and he was lucky enough to sort of land on it. Remember that one?
So he didn't turn it over.
Didn't turn
it
over.
He was also 16-31, Maz. I mean, honestly, like, Kansas City wins that game if he gets to a point where he's willing to make and take the intermediate throws. Right now, he's a home run hitter. That's what he is. And he's going to swing for the fences. And when it's not there, then there's not much else. If he had been able to do, like, the, you know, Brady, you guys asked me if you switch it, like the way the Patriots played defense against Kansas City, tailor made for Brady and death by 1,000 paper cuts. Like, that's the thing Mahomes had to do. Stop trying to make the big play and just take the 4, take the 6, take the 5, and just march your way down the field. But that's not the way he plays, and that's not the way Kansas City's offense is.
I didn't say he was perfect. I said he played a cleaner game.
Sean in New Hampshire. Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. So I just don't like the way the Rams match up with pushing the 4 guys in the line. I mean, with Donald is a beast. I watched him in enough primetime games to have seen him this year. He's an absolute force, and I think that if you push him up the middle, Brady can get off his spot, and I think that's the way that you really do, you know, win against the Patriots. So the Patriots have something that combats that.
So, I mean, their offensive line's been great, and I worry less about Donald than I do Sue, and I'll tell you why. Not that Sue's half the player that Donald is. He's not. Donald's the guy. I just know if the Patriots commit to stopping one guy, they're going to stop one guy. They're not going to let Aaron Donald take over the game. They're not going to let J.J. Watt take over the game. They're not going to let Clowney take over the game. They're not going to let Justin Houston take over the game. I've seen it a million times. We're not going to let Dwight Freeney take over the game. You might get Matt Light for one sack, but that's it. We're not going to let Jason Taylor take over the game. They're not going to take, so they're going to take Donald out, but that's going to leave Sue open and to a one-on-one matchup. And does Sue have his head screwed on straight?
He has in the playoffs. I mean, he's played pretty well.
Because if he does, he's a force.
Yeah, but Sue's a guy that normally that they've done a pretty good job against him.
Because they focused on him.
That's fair. But he's also one of those guys where if it's midway through the third quarter, he's not getting any pressure. He just mentally is like, well, this just isn't my day.
He'll quit.
Yes. He will.
I said earlier, midway through the second.
Yeah.
If he's not making plays.
He will dial it back, if you want to use a euphemism.
Or he'll cleat somebody and get a 15-yard penalty and thrown out.
Do you want to know the guy who worries me? If you're going to focus so much attention on the guys on the inside, and I think they will, Dante Fowler. Dante Fowler gave the Patriots fits last year in the AFC Championship game when he was playing for Jacksonville. That's the guy that worries me. You know, does Dante Fowler get over on Trent Brown?
Okay, so there you go. More to consider. We've got more of your thoughts with Chris Gasper here in our Town Fair Tire Studios. We're after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you're going to see me playing football next year.
Definitely going to look at my future.
So you say that you will be back coaching next year? Is that what you said?
I said I'd address that question.
Why did McDaniels turn down the Colts?
Truth of the matter is he was never entirely comfortable with the situation. And even though he did agree to the contract.
I've been riding dirt bikes. I've been training really hard. I can vroom, vroom really good.
It's the third phase of the New England Patriots off-season workout program. And Tom Brady is not there, and he's not going to be there.
I'm here now, focus on what I need to do.
Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman is facing a 4-game suspension for performance-enhancing substance.
Patriots just canceled the last 2 days of OTAs. It sends a very obvious message. The end is near.
The job of ownership is to keep continuity when you have something good. The Belichick-Brady combo has been pretty good.
It's important for me to have a good season in 2018. I'm going to do everything I can to do that.
This team needs a great quarterback. Hope I can go out and beat that.
Brady takes the snap. He throws it left for Gronk. He makes the catch over two defenders and steps across the pylon for a touchdown. Patriots!
Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski will face the Lions tonight. He easily could have been playing for them instead.
Yeah, it happened. Brady's my quarterback. Wasn't going anywhere without Brady.
The Patriots have now agreed to terms with the Browns to trade for Josh Gordon.
Everybody feels like this is a talented player. We'll see how it goes.
I have no doubt I can, you know, take advantage of this opportunity. I'm more than blessed. I'm extremely grateful to be put in this scenario.
Long hierarchy pass to the end zone. Caught by Gordon in the right side.
That was a great play Josh made. Tells you the kind of confidence I have in a really short period of time. So he's earned it. Happy to see him make that play.
Tied at 40. The snap and play. Swing the right leg. Kick lifted to the uprights. Right down the middle. A game winner for Gostkowski. And these teams may very well meet again.
I don't think we've seen our best.
I'd say playing against Aaron Rodgers is very, very difficult. He's just so good.
Wide open. Gordon makes the catch. Slips a hit. Goodbye. Touchdown, Patriots.
Buses. More bad news concerning Josh Gordon. He was suspended indefinitely again by the league.
The New England Patriots, they're bound for the divisional round of the AFC playoff tournament with a bye for the ninth straight year.
Oh, my mindset is just all focused on the Chargers.
Brady turns, gives to Michelle, runs up the middle, pushing the pile, driving his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
And
the Pats remain unbeaten at home. And now they've got to take a performance like today's and build on it, travel to Kansas City with it to beat the Chiefs for the second time this year,
yep,
as they will meet in the AFC Championship game.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games, so we'll see.
Patriots staffer told me early in the week Brady walked into the facility and said, and I quote, "I am the baddest mother on the planet."
Mahomes out of the shotgun. Zings it for the end zone. Caught by Kelce on a slant. Touchdown. Throw for down. Williams, he catches the football. Right side. Touchdown. They're going to run a screen near side. Damian Williams set up. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown.
Brady takes the step, gives to Michelle, runs it right, first down and more, untouched, into the end zone, touchdown Patriots, they regain the lead.
Damian Williams into the end zone, blasts in there, touchdown.
Brady is going to turn and give it to Burkett, he runs it left behind Devlin, he blows his way to the end zone, touchdown Patriots.
Colquitt puts the placement down, Butker's kick, this can't be more perfect, the Chiefs have tied the game.
Heads, it is heads.
You want the ball.
Adamant open in midfield, makes the catch, and then lunges forward across the 45.
Third down, and he picks up 20.
Caught by Edelman on the run to the left side of the 30.
That's a 15-yard dagger on third and 10 again.
Gronk makes the catch at the 20, and he's tackled. Caught at the shoelaces.
Third and long conversions, times three on this drive in overtime.
Brady under center, a give to Burkett, runs it left for the win! Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53!
America's worst nightmare is back! We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. It's not their year, right? It just might be. It just might be.
Happy for our team, happy for our coaching staff, our players, and the entire organization for what we accomplished tonight. And we'll start getting ready for the Rams.
The odds were stacked against us, and it hasn't been that way for us for a while. And it certainly was this year. It was a great team win.
There's your season-long recap, courtesy of Jimmy Stewart, executive producer. Excellent job. Thanks for putting that together. Matt started chirping in the middle of it, though. What's your problem?
No, I'm just wondering if Chris had an opinion on Damian Williams' game as a receiver against the Patriots.
It was good. I mean, if it would have been... By the way, back to your Mahomes played a clean game point. How clean was it when he airmailed Damian Williams twice on touchdowns?
So you're saying Williams was open?
He was open.
Hmm. He had a similar play with Kareem Hunt early in the
year,
correct?
Yes, he did. He missed it against Hightower.
I'm just asking because you said that Williams wasn't going to be able to do what Kareem Hunt did as a receiver in that offense.
Yeah, I did say that. And I'll tell you what, if they had Kareem Hunt, I still think they would have won because he would have been a lot more explosive than Damian Williams.
I know. I'm giving you a blah. I am.
Well, basically, swap out this Darren Williams for Kareem Hunt, and what's the diff?
Damian Williams?
Whatever. Does it matter what his name is?
I don't know. I mean, one guy averaged 8 yards a rush against the Patriots. The other guy had 3 yards a rush on Sunday.
It's a running back.
And in both games, he scored 31 points in the second half. It was the Kansas City defense that did them in. It was not Kareem Hunt, the absence of Kareem Hunt.
Well, I mean, you know, the defense, as I said, it had to make stops. But I'm going to tell you this right now. This is just my opinion. I don't think Kansas City gets shut out in the first half if Kareem Hunt is still there. Because the Patriots have to account for him in a way that they didn't have to account. Did you have any sense that the Patriots were fearful of Damian Williams being able to run the football against them?
Probably not.
Yeah, I didn't think they really fared that at all. Because Damian Williams is not a home run hitter, and Kareem Hunt is.
Chris, do you have a prediction for the game yet? Or are you going to wait to get all your analysis?
I'm going to wait for all the analysis.
Okay, so what do you? So,
which is what I did for the Chiefs Patriots game. So that one worked out for me. So I'm going to do it again.
All right. So what do you want to uncover? Like, what are you looking to? What do you want to investigate further? What are your questions still about this matchup?
Well, I raised it when we were here. I mean, offensive line. Can the Patriots make hay the same way they have in the playoffs against this really good Rams offensive line? And then, you know, again, I know you guys think running backs are irrelevant, but I think they're going to be a big part of this game. I have questions about Mark Barron and Corey Littleton being able to cover James White and Rex Burkhead out of the backfield. And then I have real questions about Todd Gurley getting loose against Van Noy and whoever else the Patriots try and throw out there.
So you're talking about running backs in the passing game.
Yes.
How about running the ball? Because I believe neither team's going to run the ball. Neither team's going to be able to. The Rams feel like you should be able to run against them. They're a light front, and they were really bad against the run in the regular season.
They were.
32nd.
They've been great in the playoffs.
Dead last in the regular season in yards per carry against. In the playoffs, second best. 2.3 yards per carry against both Dallas and New Orleans, both good running teams that want to run the ball, which just feels to me like the Rams have sort of flipped a switch defensively like you have. and they're just stopping the run now. And I think that Bill's going to commit to stop the run in L.A. because I think it all starts with that sort of run game, boot action, play action, rollout, all that stuff. And so he's going to take that away. And I bet you neither team's going to be able to run. It's just a feeling I have.
I think the Rams have a better chance of running the ball in this game than the Patriots do. I'm serious. I'm not being a wise ass. I think that Rams defensive line is ridiculous. I'm sorry. Those two guys in there are monsters. I don't think you take them on. I don't think you do. If you tell me the Patriots are going to be able to run the ball in the perimeter, well, then, I don't know enough about the perimeter of the Rams defense.
Yeah, you're typically right. That's what they do when they face big defensive tackles. They used to do that to Buffalo every year. Or Minnesota, was it the Williams?
The Williams, yeah, the Williams boys. They didn't even try and run against those guys.
Screw it.
Yeah. Yep.
You win the A-gap, you win the middle of the field, you got it. You can have it. You're there.
But you don't
We're
think,
going somewhere else.
See, this is we were talking about this in the break, and I think you guys disagree with it. You don't think that the Patriots have crafted a little bit of an offensive identity here that revolves around being able to run the football?
I think it starts with Tom Brady. I think if a defense is light, they can run against it, and they're better equipped to run against light defenses than they've been in a long time, between the line and their backs who've played well.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think that's their identity. I think their identity starts with Tom Brady. If they have some Jamoke at quarterback, the opponents
won. Yeah, but I'm saying, so, okay, identity maybe is the wrong word, but game planning, how they want to attack. Like, why is there so much two-back that they're using throughout the playoffs?
Cool,
why is Devlin in there as a fullback?
Because they're good at it, and light defenses can't stop it.
Well, they are good at it, but it also, their best passing, the most proficient passing this year has been out of play action. And that's because that helps guys that have a harder time getting open, like Hogan and Dorsett, get open, because you have to respect the threat of the run.
Yeah.
Chris, you mentioned Fowler. What side does he play on?
I believe he's over the left tackle.
Okay, so that's Trent Brown.
Yes.
See, if I'm the Rams, I move him. You know, Trent Brown's the one guy that I look at on that Patriots line, and I say, you know, if I'm the Rams, I don't want to mess with that. Because I don't want him messing with Sue. I don't want him messing with Donald. No shot. I don't want him over because he's a monster. He's 380 for crying out loud. Put Fowler on the other side.
The thing about Sue and Donald, though, and look, they've been great stopping the run in the playoffs, no question about it. But those guys want to rush the passer. Those are not guys that are like, you know, we're not talking about Ted Washington types here.
No.
Like, they don't look at it and say, like, my identity is a run stuffer. Well, that's like something they have to do on the way to the quarterback.
That's what Ted
It's
Johnson,
the dirty work.
That's right. But have they just made that sacrifice in the games that matter? I mean, the stats would say they have. You know, their run defense would say that that's what they...
Well, yeah, you're right. And I'm not disagreeing, but I'm saying against the Cowboys, like, you load up to stop the run and make Prescott beat you. So the more impressive one to me was the Saints. You know, I think that was impressive that they were able to stop the run there and not get you know, crushed with Breeze throwing the ball.
Yeah,
that was impressive. But, I mean, against Dallas, like, that's just sort of common sense, right? Like, we're going to load up to stop Ezekiel Elliott, no matter what it takes, and then we're going to make, like, Cole Beasley beat us.
So, right, this is why people are saying that the Patriots, and you want to do it, too. You want to pull Adam Jones. Like, the Pats,
I do. Jones is right. I listened to him last
night. The Pats are now a running team? That's so ludicrous. It's so dumb. Dallas is the running team. When you have Tom Brady, and oh, by the way, against the Chargers, he threw on that first series that really set you up. But when you have Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman on the field, you can't load up to stop the run. That's how they're able to run the ball. If you think they're a running team, then they suck, and they don't suck.
Yeah, I don't think they suck. I just think, you know, and I wrote this like right when the playoffs started on the Sunday, that trends they needed to buck. One was red zone this year. They hadn't been very good. They were 15th in the league, right? And they were 5-for-7 against the Chargers, and I think 4-for-5 against the Chiefs. They've been a lot better there. The other was being able to run the ball against multiple defensive back sets, which in the past, you can go back to 2010.
No. Chris, I mean, what? I agree with this.
Okay.
As a game plan tactic.
But you're taking it like they've always been able to do this, and
no,
they have not been able
you're
to
right.
do this with Tom Brady and with a hell of a lot better weapons in the passing attack than they have right now.
I agree.
Teams have loaded up to say, we don't care if you run the ball,
Chris,
and they still couldn't do
you're
it.
You're wasting your breath. I agree.
Okay.
They can now, as a game plan tactic, run the ball better than they have in the past.
But that doesn't matter. Is your point?
It's not as important as what they do in the passing game.
But does it matter
Brady.
Or not?
No, it matters. Of course it matters.
Okay.
Jones said that they have Alex Smith at quarterback.
That's ridiculous.
Okay. Well, you said you listened. He said the Patriots are now a running team. It's all about the run, and they have Alex Smith at quarterback.
No, what I listened to with Jones was the idea of, and this is where you conflate the argument. I think running backs are more important than you guys want to admit, but there's a separate argument of how much capital you have to invest to get a running back who can make a difference. You want to say, hey, you don't have to invest a lot in the position. Fine, I agree with you. You're right.
Thank you.
But then if you want to use that and say the position doesn't matter at all, then I would disagree. I mean, you have two of the top five running teams in the league right now in the Super Bowl. Both those teams were top five teams at running the football.
Disposable razors, that position. It just is. And the folks that like them, again, I just have to reduce you to fantasy players or college football fans, which all you are, all you running back guys are all college football fans.
Chris, I would like to invite you ahead of time to the party that Adam Jones and I are going to have, because no matter who wins the Super Bowl, you see, one of these teams has a running back they drafted in the first round. So it's a
correct.
It's a Back Lives Matter party we're going to
yes.
have.
Yes. Okay. So, Chris, we'll see you in Atlanta.
Sounds good.
Okay, final word. We have a special final word. We got a little recap of last year's Radio Row. We've got a Fuppets from last year you don't want to miss, and fresh Squeaky Maz this week. So stick around for all of it.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires. Only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free service. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Before we get into the sound, I believe Chris Gasper wants to... you won last time.
Yeah, right? I just have to. So what's the greatest Patriots team of all time?
04.
And who was the best player on that team?
It wasn't Corey Dillon.
He ran for 1,635 yards. That was their identity, running the football.
Oh, no.
That's your favorite team of all time.
Their identity was defense.
So deep down inside, you love running
backs. Oh, my God. Their identity was Rodney Harrison and that defense. But go ahead. Let's go.
Go ahead. Yeah.
All right.
Just had to make that point.
As we get ready to embark on another Radio Row adventure, this time in Atlanta, why don't we relive the Fuppets adventure that they had last year in the Mall of America?
Remember we were in the mall last year?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I went to Panda Express for lunch.
Maz, how are you feeling with the Minnesota Super Bowl so far?
No, I love it so far. It's been awesome, really. Like, maybe my favorite one. I'm sitting in the freaking Mall of America to do Super Bowl hype. The Mall of America, what, Natick wasn't available? Or Burlington? Chestnut Hill? We could have gone to Liberty Tree in Danvers? I had to come to freaking Minneapolis to do Super Bowl week at the mall. Pizza! That's just great. I love it. Awesome! What a great idea. When we're done, you want to go to Nordstrom? Or do you want to go to Macy's? Which one? Tell me, which one? I think it's awesome. This is so much fun! Love it!
I'm reserving judgment. Everyone's been real nice so far. So.
Oh, my God. I think this is brutal. Bloomington, Minnesota? The mall is where we're going to get Super Bowl hype?
It's just, you know, and even outside...
Bloomington at the Mall of America! Go!
Yes.
Yeah, I take back what I said there, too. That was a frozen hellhole.
That Super Bowl sucked. Yeah,
I know people don't like hearing that. You're looking to go, blah, blah, blah. That was awful.
It was dreadful.
And we have Fresh Squeaky Maz put together by Hardy.
Love it.
Guesses?
It has to be Hall of Fame related.
Of course. It's one certain player.
Yeah, this one
pissed me off. So, of all the things that were announced last night, you know what pissed me off the most?
What?
Larry Walker got 54.6% of the vote. Now, he's not in. Okay, you gotta get 75% to get in. But more than half the voters out there think that Larry Walker belongs in the Hall of Fame. And so, if you're asking me, ultimately, what do I want?
Yo, tell me what I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
Do I wanna Hall of Fame voting body that... thinks favorably of people like Larry Walker? Or do I want a voting body that never has someone at 100%? I'll take the second thing. Larry Walker? Larry effing Walker in the Hall of Fame? 55%? Are you kidding me with that crap? Holy smoke, do you know what Larry Walker's career batting average at Coors Field was?
I don't.
381. You know what it was outside? 282. 100 points difference, because he played on the moon for his career, most of his career. And there are people out there that think that that jackass, and I use that term loosely.
I understand.
Okay, I don't really know the guy.
Got it.
But that guy is a Hall of Famer? That's asinine. If you want to vote for Walker, you can't be my friend. He's average away from Coors Field. Stinks like my rear end. If you want to vote for Walker, then I have to say, to hell with you and the BBWAA. What do you think about that?
Thanks to Hardy again for putting that together. Outstanding. Hardy, both the brainchild of the Fuppets and Squeaky Maz and Mad Mike. So thanks to Hardy.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.